Welcome to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. How you doing this week? I'm Nancy Newcomer and in Santa Barbara, broadcasting from my studio. Really excited about the show this week, as usual. I'm excited about it every week. It's so much fun to talk to everybody. I love having these kinds of chats. It's wonderful. I want to say thanks to my sponsor, Go Cleanse, an amazing health program that I've been doing for a year. Really, really enjoy this program. And you know what? I just want to quickly put the phone number out. Jot this down. We'll talk more about Go Cleanse as we get further into the program. But if you're interested in finding out more, the number to call is 805-500-4644. It's 805-500-4644. All righty. Hey, really pleased to welcome back my good friend, Lisa Brown. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I didn't even really give you an intro. You know, for people that have been following the show, Lisa was on one of the very first shows we did back in the fall. She's the bean queen. She had a great recipe for beans. And we talked last week about seven rituals for spring renewal. And because we have so much chatting, it's fun chatting. And we just, you know, we're having another little kitchen table chat here about Easter this week. And, you know, sometimes you just need to have an informal discussion, and that's what we're going to do today. Okay.
Sounds good, man.
You kicking back over there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's another beautiful day in the Bay Area. Gosh, I love to have the great weather, but as you know, also being in Southern California, we've got a bad drought situation going on here, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. You love the great weather. But, man, we need some rain. We need it bad.
We need it bad. We need to do a little rain dance, a little Easter rain dance.
So. I know. I should have brought back little rain dolls from Mexico when I was down there.
Do they have rain dolls?
I don't know. There was one gal that was doing all this beating. I'm sure she could have beat it up something.
Well, and, you know, we can just deem it that, you know, get the doll and then that's your little rain doll. You know, I'm going to go to New Orleans very soon and I'm tempted to go into some of the voodoo shops. Have you been down there?
I'm thinking that's a good idea.
I'm thinking too. I need to pick up on some voodoo. I don't know what I'm going to encounter down there. I was there once and it was 10 years ago. No, it wasn't. It was like, I don't know when it was. It was in 99. That's
ago.
What it was. Yeah, so, well, I can talk more about New Orleans later, but looking forward to that. So a little voodoo action. I don't know what will that entail, but anyway, got a little off track there, Lisa. I want to talk about Easter today. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
What are you guys doing for Easter this year?
Well, our Easter plans are a little up in the air right now. I mentioned to you, Nance, that my mom's going through radiation right now. So yes, it's kind of up in the air what we're going to do for Easter Sunday. But if my mom's feeling well enough, I'm sure that we'll go up to the house and my dad, if my dad's in charge, he'll likely get a leg of lamb, which is one of my all-time favorites. Leg of lamb, roasted potatoes, and a beautiful fresh French cut string beans. We'll have to, of course, bring a steak in for Juan because my husband doesn't eat lamb. But as far as Easter meals, that's the meal I always remember having with my grandma and all my aunts and uncles, and was this big, gorgeous leg of lamb. My dad would always carve right at the table. I don't know. Did your dad and mom used to carve at the table too, Nance?
Yeah, they did. And I do remember it was sort of controversial when they got, do you remember electric knives? They became popular in the 70s. And my dad thought it was really cool. I don't think my mom really liked it, but I thought it was kind of neat. But I bet they had that thing shoved in some cupboard somewhere.
My dad, to this day, does not have one of those knives. He still sits there ahead of time, uses the steel, and sharpens his carving knife. And in fact, I think just at Christmas when he was carving the prime rib, he had to get a different knife because my mom and dad have been married for 55 years. And he has carved every conceivable carcass of meat with that carving knife. And I think what has finally happened is the knife's just lost its edge, right? It's like, okay, Brown, you're going to have to get another carving knife because it's just not working anymore.
Right. You can only sharpen it so many years. How cool, though. You know, I got to tell you a little side note. When my grandmother lived to be 100, as you know, and when we were clearing out her house, there were just, you know, all kinds of great kitchen tools and old tools, and so many of them last for so many years. And I thought about all the meals, how many years she had used those measuring cups, you know, the old tin measuring cups and the knives and every family meal that was eaten on those plates. It just, you know, when somebody passes like that, you think about those rituals. And I love the image of your father carving all those meals, or the, you know, the birds and carcasses. We always had we always did a turkey or either a ham on Easter when I was growing up. But to be quite honest, I've lived a totally opposite modern Eastern ritual in these recent years. And I know you and I have talked about it. You know, my friend Mark, he's the single guy that went to college with him, and he hosts one party a year, and it's Easter. And it's prime rib out on the Weber Grill. His dad cooks it every year. Baked potatoes. Everybody brings side dishes, and we do the Easter egg hunt. But we do a margarita Easter in Santa Barbara.
Oh, I like that spin.
Yeah, it's a little margarita Easter in the backyard, and it's not like the linens and the china and the silver. When I remember that stuff when I was a really little girl. And then, did you get your special Easter dress, Lise?
Yeah, but you know me, Nance. I've always been a little bit of a tomboy, so, right, I was never very enthused or excited about having to sport a new little dress that somebody else thought I would just be adorable in, right? I was the one who, when my mom bought me tights and Mary Janes, I would sneak out and I would walk and drag my toes on the pavement to scuff my shoes so I wouldn't have to wear them, right?
And then I would haughty girl.
Then I would crawl on my hands and knees so that I could get a runner in the tights so that I wouldn't have to wear them.
Wow. Yeah. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom, not very happy about that.
Oh, she, my God. That is hilarious. Well, I really enjoyed the Mary Janes and the little dress with the little petticoat. So it kind of stuck out, and it had the little bow in the back and the hat. And gloves. Right. Oh, my God. Gloves. Did your mom give you gloves?
Oh, yeah. We had gloves. And, you know, I remember distinctly one year my grandma for Christmas had given me a navy blue fur coat with red leather trim and buttons. And we used to always go to the city for Christmas. And my dad would go ahead of time and shop at Magnin's. And I was walking in Union Square with my mom and my brother and my grandma, and I saw my daddy across the street, and I was so excited to see him. I whistled for him with my fingers in my mouth, and then I proceeded to leapfrog over the fire hydrant, much to my grandmother's horror, right? But that gives you a little indication of, right, you can put the little girl in the fur coat, but you can't take the tomboy out of that little girl.
Well, you know what, Lisa, you've always lived your life like that, and I love it. It's great. I think that's so cute. Oh, my God. In San Francisco, Lisa's leapfrogging. I have a total visual. You're so cute. Did you have your little pigtails then, too, your little blonde pigtails?
Yes, of course I did, right? With the ribbons, the whole nine yards, right? All that stuff that was just so, all I wanted to do was put on shorts or cutoffs or, you know, wear my jeans and wear my football jersey, right? That's all I wanted, but they had me get all dolled up. But right at the end of the day, I put my fingers in my mouth and whistled for my daddy, and over the fire hydrant I went.
I love that. Well, I love all, if you can dig up a picture of any of this stuff, please send it me. I would love to put it up on my blog. You know, every year I have this one classic picture of me with my two older sisters and my brother at Easter. And I'm the little one. I have blonde curly hair and I have my little red Easter basket. And I've got the Mary Janes and the little outfit. And then my sisters have their dresses. And my brother is wearing this suit. And I think my mom had tried to save it 1 year too many because the sleeves are like way up almost three quarter length. And he's kind of goofy and it's so fun. I love that stuff. But, you know, I actually did have Easter dresses for my daughter when she was little and because she was a girly girl and loved doing that. And, you know, but my son, I think we just dressed him up maybe for a couple of years and stuff. And then it was just pretty casual, you know, your California shorts and sandals and stuff. And I think when my son was two, when Nico was two, we started going over to Mark's. And I do remember because it was the first time he had any sort of what I would call, quote, junk food. Like I was that mom that, you know, my kids ate really healthfully. But they had Mark's mom would make these seven layer nachos or this seven layer dip that has the beans and the guacamole and the sour cream and the salsa and the olives and all that stuff. And I remember Nico dipping in with the tortilla chips and it just went all down the front of his shirt and all the pictures from that year, he's just got salsa around his mouth and dripping all down the front of him. But, you know, I think of that. I look at that. It's so different now. Like I just, to me, that's the sign of a life well lived and enjoying the day, you know, just a big old salsa stain down the front. Now margarita stain might look a little sloppy, but oh my gosh. Well, you know, we're going to be doing the Thanksgiving at Mark's again. It'll be really fun backyard kind of thing. And I know, you know, depending on where people are, you know, or if you have kids, people do the Easter egg hunt and the chocolate and all of that. And we do a little bit of both. But did you dye Easter eggs growing up?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, my mom with her art background, right? So we, you know, we did the psychedelic ones. Sometimes we'd buy the kits. Of the times, right, I always wanted to make my own dyes, which I thought was totally cool because who needs to go buy those cheesy little tablets to dye your stuff when you can make your own, right? And then, of course, my mother, being the art teacher, she'd have us, right, make the different colors other than the regular colors. We'd do the primary colors and mix our own. And so it was always very festive, right, to do the eggs and stuff.
Well, you know what? We used to do always the classic paws dye, you know, yeah. And I did that with my kids for some years. But then when my kids were in preschool, you know, I went to had my kids at the Hippy Dippy preschool and we did natural dyes and it was really, really fun. And I did it with the kids there when they were little. And then I sort of resurrected it I resurrected it last year and made the biggest fun mess in my kitchen doing the natural dyes. And I used turmeric, I used red cabbage, I used raspberries and red beets, I used paprika, I did the onion skins, I actually experimented with calendula flowers because I had a bunch of those orange flowers growing in my backyard. And it was really, really fun, but you wouldn't believe the biggest mess I made. It was so much fun, though. and we, you know, I want to share with people, I do have a recipe for that on my site, nancynewcomer.com. It's if you just go natural Easter egg dyes and the perfect hard-boiled egg, you can look that up at nancynewcomer.com. I'll link that in the post on the radio, too, or on all the Facebook and all that stuff. But basically, I do like 4 cups of water, 2 tablespoons of white vinegar, and then I chop up 2 cups of whether it's veggie, fruit, flowers, whatever, or put in the spice. And I have a whole description of how to do it. But did you guys use the natural ingredients or did you use things from art supplies or paints to make your
used food coloring.
Oh, food coloring. Well,
just regular food coloring. Yeah. No, we didn't ever go the natural. We didn't do natural dyes like that, but we do the food coloring. But the thing with food coloring, and that's what I did last time I dyed eggs, I did the food coloring. But you've got to be careful because, you know, I'm a tad messy in the kitchen. So when I get going with food food coloring dyes, right? My hands ultimately took the bulk of it, of the dye. So it takes a while to get that out of your hands, too. But, no, it was really cool because, like I said, you only get four colors in there, but then you start mixing them to come up with all the other colors. So that was fun. I like that a lot.
It's really fun, and that's great for kids, too. You know, I will say, hang on, I got a cough. You got to edit this out, Dylan. I don't have a cough button. So I will say when I did my experimentation last year with all of the fruits and vegetables and spices, it was pretty darn messy. And turmeric very much stained your hands. So we could do the whole rubber glove thing if you really want to get into it. But I don't know. It's kind of fun to get messy. It's kind of brings the little kid out in you. But the one thing that is important to do when you are doing these dyes is to have that white vinegar as an element, because that is what helps make the color cling to the eggs. So that's important. And by the way, I had so many questions about how to boil how to boil eggs, how to make the perfect hard-boiled egg where they peel properly. Because so many times, you know, you make all these eggs at Easter and then you go to peel them and then half this, you know, white is stuck to the skin. And I did a lot of research and I posted my results. But what is the tip is to use older eggs. You know, check the expiration dates. Buy the eggs like a week before you actually hard boil them, and that actually makes for easier peeling. And then the recommendation also is to remove the eggs from the fridge and let them sit out for about 15 minutes so they're not as cold. And then put the eggs into a single layer of eggs in a saucepan covered by at least an inch or two of water. Then turn the stove on medium, then increase the heat after the water is gently boiling, and then bring them to a gentle boil so they don't crack. And after boiling for 5 minutes, turn off the heat, let them sit 5 to 7 minutes, then place them in a bowl of ice water. And I'll tell you, that really makes them peel perfectly. And nobody has to remember that. It's all on my website. Okay. NancyNewcomer.com. So do you do a whole bunch of hard boiled eggs, or what do you do, Lise?
Well, I make hard boiled eggs every week, right? So I take it as a snack for work, for lunch, right? For myself and Juan. And I actually got it's so weird to say you had to get a recipe on how to boil eggs. It just sounds so weird to me, but I used Ina Garten's recipe, and what she says is I have heard about older eggs though, but we shop once a week, so the eggs I get on Sunday are the eggs I'm going to be boiling. And so same thing, put them in a pan, cover it with water, bring it up to a boil. Once it's up to a boil, shut it off, cover it, and put them on the timer for 15 minutes. And after the 15 minutes go, and I put them cool water over them, and then I crack my eggs immediately.
Really?
I crack them. I crack all of them and then put them in a container for the week, because nothing is more frustrating if you can't peel the egg.
Yeah.
It's like the easiest task, but if it doesn't come off right, it's so irritating. And I know my husband, with zero patience, will be launching the egg across his lunchroom if he couldn't peel it. So I just do it all at one shot.
Well, you know, her method that you're talking about, I think, is really similar to the one that I do. I even made a note, like, if you forget them there for 20 minutes, if they're just sitting in the pan, you know, it's almost impossible to really overcook them if the you know, it just depends if you... I don't know. I like the yolks hard. I don't like them gooey.
No. But I think what the other thing is people that overboil the eggs, that's when it gets that funky color around the yolk.
Oh, we don't want no funky color. No funk in the yolk.
Yeah, exactly. It gets that funky color.
It's like green, kind of looks moldy, huh, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt you. It's just not aesthetically pleasing.
Exactly. And if you're going to make deviled eggs, right, by the time you whip those yolks up, nobody can tell.
This is true. And Lisa, I know you saw this recipe, but one of the most absolute popular recipes I've ever posted on my blog is this avocado deviled egg recipe. Did you see the photo of that?
I've seen it, but you know what? I've never made them, partially because we don't eat a lot of avocado. You know the drill. It's the potassium thing for one. But now, do you make like guacamole?
Well, here's what I do. I put you know, you slice the hard boiled eggs in half, and then you put the yolks in a bowl. Then I scoop out the avocado, and mash them in with the yolks. And then I add lemon and lime, garlic, salt and pepper till it's all combined. And I don't, you know, people that make deviled eggs, I know they use Miracle Whip or they use mayonnaise. I just don't like that, and I don't do it. You could do that. But then this is when I have fun. I start to spice things up a little bit. I've done them with cayenne pepper and also a garnish of cilantro. I think you could add chopped jalapeno. You could also do the whole Indian thing and do the turmeric and curry. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential with this. So, but I will say, because there's avocado in it, and yeah, the lemon and lime is in there, but sometimes, you know, it's better. You can't really make them too far ahead if you're going to serve them for a party, because the avocado obviously tends to get darker. The lemon and lime prevent that from happening, but it's pretty easy, but they just look so fun and festive, and just people, it's so funny how people are so impressed by these. It's like the easiest thing you could possibly make.
Right. Well, it's because they look different, right?
It's
they don't look like your standard deviled egg. I'm kind of a standard deviled egg girl. Funny enough though, my dad does not like deviled eggs. He won't eat them. My husband, on the other hand, will completely devour them.
Yeah, a lot of people like pop them. In fact, this, I want to just side note, this was my avocado deviled eggs, which is on my website, nancynewcomer.com. I know people are going to ask about it. I'll post it too on Facebook. But this was the recipe that Go Cleanse wanted to use for their newsletter this month. I'm doing recipes for them now. Did you know that? I wasn't sure if I told you.
You know what? I've actually seen them posted on their page.
Oh, good.
I'm on that Facebook page.
Gotta mention Go Cleanse. We're almost to the end of the show, but I want to make sure everybody knows that Go Cleanse sponsors The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. And, you know, people ask about Go Cleanse and what the program is like. It's you're drinking shakes, you're eating meals, you're doing cleanse days. You can do an 11-day or a 30-day. I've lost over 50 pounds. Lisa's been on the program, too. It's really made me get a handle on my health. I feel so good. And I want people to know that you can make fun recipes and healthy recipes. This is just one example of something that you could have on the Go Cleanse program. So it doesn't have to be like a salad and a chicken breast. People think, oh, I got to eat boring food. No, you can have fun and make good things. And that's what I like talking to you about too, Lisa, because we're both creative in the kitchen, but so many people just don't know how to break out. And just real quick, if anybody needs to get more information about Go Cleanse, give them a call, 805-500-4644, 805-500-4644. The number is on the Empower page for Nancy Newcomer, The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. It's on my website too. So if you missed that, there's also a website link if you want to just check out the program too. So got to mention that. So do you make egg salad, Lise?
So my neighbor across the street, her daughter is pregnant, and the baby shower is the day before Easter. So, of course, I offered to make some food for the shower, and to which the mom resisted, no, Lisa, we just want you to come. But her sister says, oh, no, Lisa, you make such good food. I want you to cook something. Will you please bring something? So they're having, like, little appetizer things, so I offered to make finger sandwiches. So I'm going to do egg salad finger sandwiches because the mom-to-be is actually a vegetarian, but she eats eggs. So I'm going to do chicken salad sandwiches, and I'm going to do egg salad sandwiches, and I'm actually going to do a macaroni salad for him. But I love egg salad. It's one of my very favorite things to make.
That's really cool. We only have a minute left. Can you run it down really quick what you put in your egg salad?
Oh, simple. I use Best Foods mayonnaise. I'm not a Miracle Whip girl. A little onion powder, a little garlic powder, paprika to finish it off, little salt, little pepper. And then I load my egg salad into a Ziploc bag, snip the bottom, and load my... that's for the hard-boiled eggs. Sorry. Same kind of thing, though. The way I make my hard-boiled eggs, but I do the same thing pretty much for the egg salad. And then, of course, for the finger sandwiches, I trim off the crust of the bread and cut them in small diagonals.
I love it. That's so ladylike. And that's a great way to use those leftover eggs from Easter, the hard-boiled eggs. I can't believe we're at the end of the show, Elise. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Nance. It's always fun to chit-chat with you. Have a great Easter.
Thanks. Happy Easter to you, too. And thanks to everybody for listening to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. Thanks to our friends at Go Cleanse for sponsoring the show. Always a pleasure to have you here. Share the show, tell your friends, and have a great week. Happy Easter.